Want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been here, and so it's good to worship with you this morning. It reminds me of a time in our own church was really small, like what you have here. You might not realize Calvary Church was just a few families, but I remember that. I think it started with six families. So 15 years, imagine what your influence could be. Don't let your light shine and keep reaching out, because there's a lot of souls out there that need saved. We enjoyed our drive down this morning. A lot of nice scenery. Fall is a beautiful time of the year. I like fall. I like to see all the trees, the leaves. But it's also a good time of the year because the harvest is in. And you see the corn crop coming in. You see the bean crop. Your gardens are over with, probably. It's been harvested. If you've had a good year, it's just kind of a good feeling. There's been enough for the year taken in. If it's been a bad year, then maybe you're a little discouraged. But this year has been a good year for us. Plenty of rain, a lot of sunshine. I'd like to think this morning about sowing and reaping. I've been thinking about that. And then this past little while, I was reading through Galatians 6. Turn with me to Galatians 6. It talks about the law, the principle of sowing and reaping. I'd just like to read a few verses. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We have here God putting a principle forth that is so true. What you sow, you will reap. Now I'd like to take your minds back to the spring. I enjoy gardening. I enjoy thinking about what my garden could yield. I don't consider myself a gardener. If you'd come look at my gardener, you would say I failed miserably. But I do enjoy thinking about it, and I enjoy trying. In the springtime, when there's still snow on the ground, it's still cold outside, I like to start thinking, okay, what can I do different this year? I got a nice empty plot of ground here, and I'm going to plant something in it. What am I going to plant? Where am I going to plant it? And what can I do different this year? Maybe you're that way. Maybe you have spent some time thinking about what you were going to plant. It's a good feeling to take them seeds, push them down into the soft soil, and cover them up. And then wait and wait. And 3 days you walk out there, and you know it's not up, but it's still nice to look to see nothing. And you hope it's going to come up. You wait a few more days, you walk down there, and maybe you see some greens sticking up. Maybe you don't. You just keep on waiting. But all of a sudden, there it is. What you have planted is coming up. And God's principle, what you sow, you will reap. Now, I doubt if any of you have walked down to your garden and said, "Well, isn't that something? I planted peas, and look at all them corn stalks. How'd that happen?" That don't happen. It doesn't even enter our mind. We plant peas, and we expect peas are going to come up. If you're a farmer and you plant wheat in your field, you expect wheat to come up. There's no surprise. And maybe I have no idea what you planted. My local farmer next door, he took his soybean crop off, and he was busy. It was a big acre field, and he was busy planting something. I had an idea what he planted, but I didn't know. I could have been wrong, but sure enough, all of a sudden you have these little green shoots starting to come up, and the whole field is planted. But see, I didn't know until finally I seen the crop coming up out of the ground. There's no surprise. It doesn't lie. What got planted comes up. Now, continuing with our little garden picture, your plants are coming up. And it takes a lot of work. You got to keep working those plants, and there's other little plants that's coming up with your plants, weeds. And if you're a good gardener, you're out there, you're cultivating the ground, you're pulling the weeds, and you're taking care of your garden. And the plants are beautiful. Keep watering them if it needs water. Till in the ground, and the plants grow. Tremendous. That's my ideal picture of a garden. But over time, you get busy. And the rain keeps pouring, and the weeds keep growing, the grass keeps growing, and all of a sudden you walk down your garden and say, what happened here? Look at all these weeds. Where did they come from? And I see a picture of life. You know, without a lot of hard work, there's a lot of weeds that grow into our life. That's what I'd like to look at this morning. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I have here that it's God's law is stated that what we sow, we will reap. In the physical, we understand that so easily. If you plant corn, corn's going to come up. But in our lives, it's so hard to see that what I am planting every day is going to come up. We tend to cloud that. We'll look at that some more here after a bit. But every day we're sowing something. You sowed something this morning already. You sowed something yesterday. This week you're going to be sowing something every day. As you talk to people, by your speech, by your actions, you're sowing something. There's only two kinds of seed that you can sow. We again have that spelled out in verse 8. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's only flesh or spiritual. And again, we get that all mixed up. We're not sure. It's not fleshly, but maybe it's not totally spiritual either. But there's only two types that we're sowing. Which is it going to be? The next principle I see in these verses is there's a harvest. And that's what I think is so nice about this time of year, is because of the harvest. So you plant a garden, you plant your field for the harvest. If you didn't have a harvest, you wouldn't plant garden, you wouldn't plant your field, you wouldn't plant crops. Well, maybe for the fun of watching them grow, all the work, no, you wouldn't do it. Just because of the harvest. And in our life, there's a harvest. What we plant is very important. If we are an honest person, people will know us by our honesty. And see, we start to reap the fruit of honesty in our life. Maybe you're a businessman, and people know that you're an honest person, and they trust you. And they say, you're an honest person. I believe you. I want to work with you. I want to do the business deal with you. If you're an angry person, you're sowing seeds of anger. Your coworkers will know that you're an angry person, and you'll begin to reap the seeds or the fruit of anger. It's not only a once in, you don't just harvest once. In our physical life, we continue to harvest. The other notice that we know about a harvest is it's always more than what we sow. We sow one seed and we get several ears of corn. We sow one pea seed and we get a whole plant full of peas. You always reap more than what you sow. Again, I just reemphasize that principle because we know that principle, but I'm afraid we don't apply it to our life like we should. So many times we look in someone's life and say, well, they're reaping. But can I see it myself? Can I realize that what I'm sowing today is what I'm going to reap in the future? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What caught my eye about this verse was be not deceived. Are you deceived this morning? They always say, if you're deceived, you don't know it. I'm never deceived. See, I can see that you're deceived. I'm not deceived. I'm trying to straighten you out. But maybe you're trying to straighten me out. These verses were wrote to Christian people. And I think God is saying, be not deceived. Stop and really think about these verses. This world is full of deceived people. They're so mixed up, they're deceived, and we know it. I met with a lady, it was last week, maybe a little longer than that, and she was an exterminator, and she laughingly, it was at a place close to our church, and she laughingly said that she's been married 3 times, and when she's tired of her husband, she just sends him on the way and gets another one. She said, my dad thinks I should go to church, because we were talking about this a church and where we go to church and everything. She don't go to church. It's just a joking, laughing matter. What is she sowing? This time of year, you see Halloween displays set up all over the place. I thought maybe it would have been a good time to preach about Halloween. But seeds that are sown with Halloween, is it a joke? Is it funny? Is death something to laugh about and make light of? I'm sure you've seen the displays. They're gross. There's one that I'm thinking of that I passed several times on my way to work. A scene with this, I guess a witch, I don't know, knife upraised, getting ready to kill a person. And you sow them seeds, and then why are you surprised when there's murder in our country so much? And people are killing someone. What is sowed will come forth. See, we understand this principle again in our gardens. We can understand that we need to sow good seed, what come forth. But when it's in my own life, see, I'm not God. I can't see the big picture. I can see it physically, but it's really hard to see the things that I'm doing and how it's going to affect the big picture. Just the little choices while you're youth. I see some youth here this morning. See, I was a youth too. You all were youth at one time. And it's the little choices that you make while you're youth sets your life on course for where you are 10 years from now. There's choices that I made that I never thought about the choices or the consequences when I made them. Just little things, just little seeds that are sown can alter your course in life. Middle-aged people, same way. Older people. Little things can influence your life. I thought of the account of Ananias and Sapphira. Were they deceived? It's in Acts 5. I won't take time to read it. But they came and they brought everything. And these were godly people. They were ones that were naming the name of Christ. Came out in front of the church and said, I'm selling everything. Here it all is. All for the honor of men. Deceived. We talked about David this morning. David and Bathsheba. We studied that Sunday school lesson a few Sundays back. Was David deceived? We talked about in our Sunday school back then. Of why would he do such a thing? Did he actually persuade himself in his mind that he could do it and get by? Did he really think about the consequences? Or just the pleasure for right now? He was deceived. So it is possible for a godly person to be deceived and to fall. Be not deceived. Luke 21:8 says, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And then again in our text, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, is there a reason that he tells us not to be deceived is because we don't tell ourselves the truth. We don't want to know the truth. We want to really make everyone believe that I can do whatever I want to and no one's going to know the difference. See, do you know who I am this morning? It's really easy to deceive you. I can say everything right. I can dress right. But see, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. And God, you can't ever fool God. And that's why it says, God is not mocked. Don't be deceived, because I can deceive you, but I cannot deceive God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We cannot mock God, because he knows exactly what I'm thinking. He knows my actions. He knows my thoughts. He knows what I was thinking this week. He knows my actions this past week. Maybe he knows things that you did that your wife doesn't know. Or maybe he knows things that your husband doesn't know. But God knows it all. God knows our desires. God knows our motives. Another point that I've thought about this passage is that God allows us to sow whatever we want. He gives us a choice, and we can sow whatever we want. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." It's an interesting thought to think that you can sow as much as you want to sow. You can sow good seed. You can sow just a few of them and you're just going to have a few plants, or you can just take the whole bag and you can just sow. Make a lot of plants. Generously or sparingly. You can sow the best seed in the world that you can find, or you can sow the cheapest thing that's out there. It's your choice. You can walk out to your garden patch and just throw your seeds in the air, and wherever they come down is where they land. Or you can take time to place them in a row, put them in the soil so that they can grow. It's your choice. God allows us to sow however we want. And it's not a negative thing. It can be positive. So many times we say the law of sowing and reaping is, well, yeah, you know, that person, they're reaping what they sowed. But it's a good thing, too. A Christian will reap what they sow. You spend a lot of time reading your Bible, praying, spending time with God, you're going to reap God's blessing. The other side of that's true, too. If we spend no time with God, we have no interest in spiritual things, we're deceived, and we will reap a terrible harvest. God allows us to make our own choices, and he doesn't interfere. And we think of Adam and Eve. When they went to partake of that forbidden tree, it was a seed that they sowed, and death began instantly. Their lives were forever changed. God was watching them the whole time. And sometimes you wonder, it's like, why, God, didn't you jump in there and stop them? God, why didn't you go in there and say, Adam, stop right now, stop, Eve. You cannot do this thing. You're going to die. Why didn't God just put a barrier there so that they couldn't touch that tree? But God doesn't do that. God allows you and me to make our own choices. He permitted Moses to disobey and strike the rock twice. Moses couldn't enter the promised land. Couldn't have God intervened and saved Moses? Sure he could have, but God don't do that. God allows us to make our own choices. He allowed King David to number the people. And by that act, 70,000 people lost their lives. We're looking at seed that was sown. And the consequences, the reaping that followed. Again, why didn't God say, David, stop. You're a man after my own heart. You don't want to do this thing. But he just left David do what he wanted to do. He didn't stop him. And 70,000 men gave their life because of that one decision that David decided to do. Let's look at some negative sides to sowing to the flesh. There's only two types of seeds we can sow, sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit. And in Galatians 5, one chapter over, it gives a whole list of the sins, seeds that can be sown. We know them, but I'd like to read them. Verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. You cannot enter the kingdom of God if by doing these type of things, these type of seeds, it's going to kill your life. It's going to kill my life. We cannot sow these type of seeds and expect God's blessing on our life. But on the other side of that, sow good seed. I'd like to look in Hebrews 11. People, men of faith, that sowed righteous seed. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." What kind of seed did Abel sow? What kind of reaping did he have? "By the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch." Again, what type of seed did Enoch plant? What did he reap? "Enoch was translated that he shall not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." By faith, Noah. What kind of seeds did Noah plant? What was his reward? "Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And we could keep on reading the whole way down through this chapter of Abraham and Sarah. Isaac and Jacob and Moses, Joshua, and the list goes on. Of godly people that sowed godly seeds. Did they have failures? Sure they did. There was times they didn't sow what they should have. But they continued to sow godly seed, and they reaped a reward of God's blessing. So sowing to the Spirit reaps life everlasting. Back to our verse in Galatians. Everlasting life compared to corruption. There's just no comparison. When I think of sowing to the Spirit, I think of the fruits of the Spirit. Love. Willingly sacrificial giving for the benefit of others. No thought of giving in return. Just looking out for your benefit. For my brother, for my sister's benefit. Love. That is a seed that you cannot sow enough of. You can continue to sow that seed. Joy, gladness of heart, peace, tranquility of mind, freeing oneself from worry and fear. It's what God can do in our life. Give us peace. Long-suffering, just working with other people, being patient, long-tempered, quietly bearing injury, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's all good seed that we can sow bountifully, and we'll reap a tremendous harvest. "He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." It's those daily things. We said we're sowing something every day, and it's the things that we say, and it's the actions that we do. Every day, we're sowing some type of seed. What will it be? It affects our character. It's the way that people know us. They enjoy being around you, or they despise it. If you want to know what your life is like, just ask your coworker or someone you work with closely, brother or sister. They know you the best. And if you work with someone for several years, you really know what type of person they are. You know what type of seed they're sowing. And I'd like to look at some practical applications of sowing and reaping. It's one thing to talk about sowing good seed, and it's another thing to actually make it happen. Practical applications. First thing I thought about is that I am responsible for the type of seed that I sow. See, it is so easy to say, well, I have all these bad things in my life because of. It's because of Tim. He is just really, he's a thorn in the flesh, and he's just, I can't help it. No. I sow my seeds. I am responsible for my own actions. I cannot blame other people, and it's so easy to blame others. I'm not responsible. It's always you. It's always someone else's fault, but it's not. We have to make goodly choices every day if we're going to have God's blessing. Again, we talked about it. It's so easy to fool our brother and our sister in our church. We try to. But see, be not deceived, because what is planted, see, I may not see the seeds that you planted. I can't see them, but I can see the fruit. I don't know what the farmer planted, but when those little wheat seeds start to come up, say, uh-huh, he planted wheat. I know he did. And he can try to lie out of it. No, I planted corn. I'll say, well, look at your field. You got wheat coming up. You cannot hide what you planted. I don't know if Brother Pablo sends out a newsletter. I don't know if any of you received that, but There's a brother that he's been working with in his church and by the name of Frank. Frank was a very sinful man. Lived a life of sin and self, away from God. But God got a hold of Frank, and Frank freely confessed all and has a joyful testimony on his lips for what God has done. It's been a real blessing to just read the newsletter, see how God can work in someone else's life. I don't know this man. But here about a month ago, Brother Pablo sent out a newsletter and said, pray for Frank. His testimony isn't there. He's discouraged. He says he's hiding something, but he doesn't want to confess what. He said, so pray for this man. And, you know, we all can do that. We all can be sowing good seeds and all of a sudden something happens in our life and we clam up and we don't want people to know what's inside my life. But see, Frank couldn't hide it because he had a glowing testimony and ready to talk about the Lord, and all of a sudden something, they just sensed something wasn't right. He didn't want to talk about the Lord anymore. He didn't want to sit down and have a one-to-one conversation with his brother. Just you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Since then, I think Frank has made things right. So if you happen to think about it, pray for Frank. But you don't know my thoughts. You don't know my actions, but God does. And God knows exactly what kind of seed you're going to be sowing. Be not deceived. God knows it all. See, he knows the pictures that I looked at this week. But no one else was watching, but God knows. The seeds that I'm sowing in my life will just... the things that I'm planting in my heart, in my mind. God knows my spiritual journey. He knows the time that I spent in his word. He knows the time that I spent on my knees. It's a positive thing. Because as we give of ourselves to God, God knows that. God also knows the time that we did not spend for him. There's another part of sowing and reaping that we influence other people by what we sow. And I think of the friends that I've had in my life that sowed good seed, that I don't know if I didn't have good friends if I would be here today because of their influence in my life. And so I just challenge you, youth, adults alike, your influence goes a long way. You may not know who's watching you, but when they see you stand for right and they see a godly person saying, I can't do that, I can't go to that place, and we might think they're kind of funny, you're seeing a godly friend, someone that can stand up. And that can help us stand true too. When I suddenly realized that if you can stand, that helps me be strong. Another area that we at home and our families is a good place of sowing and reaping. I labeled this one, what a father sows, that shall he reap. Because as fathers, we are responsible for our home. In our minds, we know what a perfect family. Maybe as you got married, maybe you're a youth and thinking about a family, and maybe you're not married there, maybe you're not even courting yet. But we all have in our minds a goal of what a perfect family should be like. Go back to my illustration of a garden. In my mind, I have an idea of the perfect garden that I want. I want my rows nice and straight. I want little plots of corn. I want little plots of beans. I want everything orderly, little walkway through it. I have it all planned out. Our families are the same way. I have a plan of what I want my family to turn out like. But what am I doing about it? If you want a spiritual family, plant the seeds for a spiritual family. If you want a materially blessed family, you can plant them seeds too. You figure out what you want and then plant seeds accordingly. You can work this thing in your favor. And I was blessed as I thought of that, that our children are only young once, and I want spiritual values for my family. And so I make decisions because of that. I will teach my children accordingly because I want them to have spiritual values. I just heard of a family that was in New York Saturday. It was not our conference. It was another group that was in there. And they said with Halloween, it was disturbing to be there. People did not want them there. People was making fun of them. But there was a young boy there. He'd just given his heart to the Lord, just recently baptized. And I'm going to guess it was the first time he was ever on the street being a witness, but he went to hand a young man a tract, and he said, "Here, would you like some gospel literature?" And this man said, "No." And he said, "Well, God still loves you." And all of a sudden, the man stopped, and he said, "What did you say?" And this young man, brother, said, "God still loves you." And it made him furious. He said that man grabbed him by the shoulders and just shook him. It's being a witness. See, that young man has a dad that cares. That young man has a dad that took him along and showed him the value of being a witness. He's sowing seeds for Jesus. So our spiritual values sow spiritual seed. Kindness shown to each other is a good seed that can be sown. Parents, children, and youth, we all need to be kind. And it's really tested at home, especially as dads, to be kind, to be caring, to be loving. I went to school with a young man. I forget what grade we were in, maybe. I'm going to guess fifth grade, somewhere around there. He came to school one morning and said, "Dad pushed Mom down the steps last night." And it was true. She broke her leg or arm, I forget which one it was, accordingly. It didn't come from the home, it comes straight from the child. What would your children say about your home life, about my home life? Are we kind? Are we respectful of each other? Reaping. Remember, we always reap more than what we sow. And so when we invest a lot of spiritual effort into our families, into our children, we're going to reap the blessings of a spiritual family. But if we decide that we want to chase riches, you can plant them seeds. You can spend a lot of time on the job. You can find a good paying job. Maybe get paid vacation, but then you're going to reap them benefits too. Go on to verse 9. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It takes a lot of hard work. And see, Satan does not want us to plant good seed. And so he's there constantly just trying to sow thistle seed in our garden. And he's trying to plant the ugly things in my life, things that just crowd out God. That's another seed that could be sown. This world is not a friendly place to God. But the reaping's coming. Remember, we planted our gardens because we wanted to reap. And so, my life. Be not deceived. What I plant is what I'm going to reap. And we're always going to reap more than what we have planted. Verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We're here to encourage one another. That's why we're here this morning. To encourage each of you to go out and to be a real witness, to sow good seed. Be sympathetic to the needs around us. It's so easy to be wrapped up in my own little world and forget to realize that you have a journey. And you have a journey. And we all have a journey. And we all think it's probably the worst journey out there. Sometimes we do. We feel like we're all alone. But to be open to the needs around us. Be caring and ready to help. Again, it's sowing seeds of kindness, gentleness, and love. And that's what we're going to reap. Think of Ephesians 4:32, very familiar verse. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If that's the type of person we'll be, we'll reap the reward of that type. And people will treat us accordingly. Now, is this important? Is sowing and reaping, this law of sowing and reaping, is it important? I say it's very important because it determines our destiny. I'd like to turn with me to Romans 6. The last verse in Romans 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What do you want to reap this morning? Do you want to reap eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Or do you want to reap the wages of sin, death? It's the two seeds that we can sow. And it's our choice. We can sow a lot of good seeds, and we can sow a lot of bad seeds. But God has given that choice to us, that we can sow whatever we want. And if I had time, I'd read a lot more verses here in Romans 6, because it talks about the person that we serve is the seeds that we sow. If we're sowing them to God, we're God's servants. And if we sow them to this world and to Satan, we're his servants. And the fruit that's in my life determines what I've sown. The reaping never stops. And sometimes we say, well, I've reaped a lot of bad things in life. I'll reflect back to Frank, the man that was evil. He killed people, reaped a life of tremendous sin. God can forgive that man. God has forgiven that man. And he can have a place in eternity, in heaven. But the reaping never stops. See, even though he sowed a lot of evil things, he still has to reap them seeds. And his sowing and reaping is so much different than of a person that has sowed godly seed in his life. It's never too late to start sowing good seed. But sometimes there's the great reaping. And in Revelation 14, it talks about the great reaping that's going to happen at the end of the world. I'd like to read a few verses. Revelation 14, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." When God decides to thrust in his sickle, our chances are over. We won't be able to sow any more seed. What you have sown, you will reap. And it determines our destiny. Either we'll make it to heaven, or we'll go to hell. What will it be? Let's kneel for prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we just humbly bow before you. Father, we just thank you that you are God and that you know our hearts, that you care about us and that you want to help us. Father, help us to sow good things in our life, to sow your word. Help us to sow godly seed that we can reap your blessing in our life. Father, I just pray for the ungodly that's around us, for our neighbors, for friends, for family that are not serving you like they should be. Father, I just pray you'd help us to be a real witness. Help us to spread your word. Help us to not be ashamed of you, to be able to speak for you no matter where we are. Father, I just pray a blessing upon each one here, the youth that's here, the families that's here, the dads, the moms. Father, I just pray that you'd bless each one. And I just pray that you would help us to encourage one another to good works and to honor and to glorify you. Just pray that you'd go with us today. Everything we do and say would be honoring and pleasing to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.